If you want to learn something about God, shut your mouth and listen to me for a minute.
Many, many children healed. We've seen midgets grow. We've seen arms and legs that stop growing because the growth cells have stopped. Mandadabasata. I don't make this stuff up.
Behold the atheist's nightmare.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Why do they teach every other theory in science except creation?
Warlocks are enemies of God.
No one's ever going to convince me that the word of God is not true.
You know, if you put Jesus Christ first, that he'll look after all your bills.
And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal.
And if you want to tell me how to live my life, it better line up with the word of God or shut your mouth.
I'm loaded. I'm pregnant with miracles.
What do you believe?
Send us the cash.
Welcome to the Bible Dumb Podcast. This is the podcast where two atheists read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm Davey Hell.
I'm Jesse Hell.
And today we are starting the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
I'd be lying if I hadn't said I hadn't thought that already too. Childish humor. Yes, Deuteronomy. So we finished Numbers. It was fine. It's better than Leviticus or Exodus. So I'm hoping Deuteronomy at least continues with like the same at least amount of storytelling that Numbers had.
Yeah.
It's the last book of Moses. Did you know that?
Nice.
So this is like the last book of the five that make up the Torah, which is like the Jewish scriptures. Okay. Now they have, I think there's another word for it, but they have like a group of literature that they use as kind of like their holy writings. Half of it is the Torah or these five books. And then the other half is like teachings from different rabbis.
And the five books are, it's written by five different people point of view?
No, it's these that we just read.
Oh.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
Oh, it's all Moses' point of view?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, that's interesting. So, as we're going through the major Western world religions, we're finishing up some of Judaism and Christianity. It's interesting. But, before we get into like the scripture and reading and any possible boring parts... I was going to ask you, so I had a couple interesting situations this past week, like just regarding religion. The first being, so we were talking about religion at work.
Oh, no. What? You haven't even told me this.
No, I was saving these for the podcast.
Oh, gosh.
actually, we were talking, okay, so first off, I have a hobby at a gym. I go to this gym. The head instructor is super religious. And this past week in like the group chat where everybody like, you know, talks about scheduling and whatever, like he threw this big baby fit about like some people doing something that he thought looked gay. And like, it was like super homophobic and sent me into like a crisis of conscience. Like, can I continue giving this man my money knowing that he is openly homophobic. And really bothered me. So that's what I was talking about with my friends at work. And then I was saying, well, one of the things that makes me really proud is that my parents left their church because the church instituted some homophobic rules and some misogynist practices. Like, apparently there was some split in the Methodist church where half of them said, you know, yes, we'll continue to perform gay marriages. And the other half said, no, we won't. And plus, we're not going to make a rule where women can't be pastors.
And that was like not just their church. That was...
No, it was like a whole thing, I guess. And their church went with the more conservative.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And you know, my parents weren't cool with that. So they said, peace, we're out. And that makes me really proud because it shows that, you know, they have principles and they're willing to change their habits and cut off ties with, I'm sure they had, you know, stuff about their church they liked. And so the guy I was talking to said he did something similar. He's Catholic and his church had some like discriminatory practices or whatever. And so he's like leaving his church, looking for another church or something like that. And I was like, there's always room for you at the Church of Davy Hill. So there's that side of this. I kind of wanted to get your opinion on why can't there just be like a secular church? Like, why does it have to be tied in with like these weird politics and the scriptures? Like, what does it bring to the table to have like all of these lies?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with, what was it, in the 70s, kind of Reagan years, when you had a lot of evangelicals start to, they made it their plan to, you know, make America evangelical. And
So it's more of a conscription, like.
It's a plot. It was planned.
Mm.
They, you know, they got their people in government. They got their people, you know, they decided that the church was going to become involved in government. And
because Jesus never mentions gay people.
No.
Spoiler. Like, we've already passed, like, the only mention that I know of homosexuality in the entire Bible.
No.
And it has the same amount of weight as stoning people for working on Saturdays, so we don't do that anymore. Like, it's fine. Like, so I think you're right. I think it's just people using religion for their political, to justify their previously held political beliefs. Nothing to do with, but it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent. Like, you can pretty much predict if somebody's super religious, they're going to come out with this stupid, like, you know, just because I accept you doesn't mean I agree with you. Like they need your agreement to be gay. Like, you can't agree with whether someone's gay or not.
Yeah.
Like, someone said that to me. Someone I actually really like said, just because I, he said, that's what I tell all my friends. He said, I love you, man, but just because I accept it doesn't mean I agree with it.
Who said that?
My friend that I texted.
The one that I thought, oh, no way he's going to be cool with this?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm heartbroken.
He's super religious.
I'm heartbroken.
So that's the other part of this conversation that I wanted to, it's like the second conversation I wanted to have with you. So this friend of mine just started a podcast of his own. And he has had a really traumatic life. Lots of bad things happened to him. He came from a super abusive home. And he keeps telling this story where, like, he steals his dad's gun. He goes down to the beach. He's going to commit suicide. In his words, he cries out to God. And in that moment decided, no, he's going to continue. And from that moment on, he's been super duper religious. He finds it a lot of comfort in it. It helps him deal with his past traumas. And, you know, there's lots of people like that. Like, I kind of have the opinion, like, most of these street preachers and people that you meet, they're dealing with either addiction or trauma. And that's why they've fallen so hard into this religious stuff. But it does make it harder for me. Not harder. It's still really easy. But it gives me a little bit of guilt to laugh so hard at how ridiculous these beliefs are, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that you
I don't want to belittle somebody else's coping mechanism.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it true, which is the hard part, because you want to be like, yeah, I get it, dude, but come on. Like, grow up a little bit. Like, it's hard to tell someone who was like abused severely as a child to grow up, but like, it's hard because I respect the people.
It's also
smart
sad
people.
On another, because we all know God didn't tell him not to kill himself. He found that power within himself.
I know, he should be proud of that.
Find another day, but yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, so I guess there's like a philosophical question here of whether self-deception, if it's good for you, is better than the truth if it's too hard to face.
I don't know. I guess it depends. I mean,
kind of depends on the person, I guess.
It depends on the person. Yeah.
From a society point of view,
how much trauma
you
got.
Because, that's a hard decision.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what if you have another bad day and you completely lose faith in yourself and you have nothing else to hold on to? It could be bad.
So this person's story is very similar to Chuck Palahniuk's story, whose like grandfather went crazy and killed his mom and his uncles,
mm-hmm.
and like was a murderer and caused his dad to be severely abusive. I mean, it's the exact same story.
Yeah.
And whereas this person like fell heavily into God, Chuck Palahniuk fell heavily into ghosts. He believes in ghosts and stuff. At least what I heard. But yeah, I really feel like there's some people that are so hard into religion, like the person that runs my gym.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell, or at least I can intuit, I think, from his just demeanor, that he probably had some addiction problems in the past, probably with alcohol or...
He feels like he has a meth history, honestly.
Mm.
His
interesting.
That's my view.
See, my
not
meter
extreme.
Isn't so
okay,
finely
his,
calibrated as
his,
yours, but...
His teeth are nice. Like, it doesn't seem like it got bad, so maybe it wasn't too bad. So maybe it wasn't meth, but it was some kind of drug.
His behavior
sure.
seems like he had a really hard part in his life. Mm-hmm. He made some bad decisions, and
he's very twitchy.
He uses God in order to, you know, fill that,
yeah,
whatever, guilt or shame, or, you know, use it as a productive addiction instead of a destructive one. I don't know, for him.
He doesn't seem like he has a calm demeanor.
No. Very intense.
Yeah.
But cool. Yeah, those were some like things that I've been thinking about all week that I was hoping we could discuss. And I think we have the same opinion, but it's still hard. Like, I want to help my friend, like, but at the same time, like, help him, like, by deconverting him from his religion.
Ooh,
but that's to me, it
not
feels
suggested.
not my place to do. I don't know.
I don't think so.
But
hey, maybe you should tell the story about your parents and how they do still volunteer at the feeding the homeless through their church.
Yeah.
Tell them what your dad does with the chips.
Yeah. Yeah. So even though my parents left their church, which is actually a really funny story. So they still go feed the homeless every Monday, which is awesome. They make sandwiches, they go out and, you know, they spend their time giving to the less fortunate, which, as we all, I should hope, atheist or not, agree, is like a fantastic lesson to take from any literature, scripture, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so while they were out there doing that, the head of the church came over and said, "Hey man, we need to get y'all's picture in our newsletter."
Oh, that is not what a story I thought you were going for, but go ahead.
I'll get to the other one.
Okay.
And my dad was like, "No, you don't." And he's like, "What? Yeah, we do. Everybody's got their picture in the newsletter, and you guys are such, you know, great members of our church." And my dad said, "I'm not a member of your church." And he said, "What?" Like, they've been going every Monday. And he said, "Yeah, you are." He said, "No, I'm not. Like, we left after you decided to, you know, ban gay people or whatever." And then, like, he said the guy seemed really mad at him.
Oh.
But he doesn't care, which makes me just like so proud. It's just like, so punk rock, Dad. You're awesome. Love it. And then even more punk rock is that there's some old biddy, some old bitch at the...
Karen.
Yeah, at the homeless whatever giveaway, sandwich giveaway, who makes them staple their bags closed so that the homeless people can't pick out the kind of chips that they like. Her opinion is like, you get Cheetos and hate Cheetos, that's too fucking bad.
You get
homeless.
What you get.
Yeah. And so my parents just refuse. So they're like the black sheep of the homeless sandwich giveaway because they refuse. And my dad will give them 2-3 sandwiches if they're hungry. He doesn't care. He just gives them whatever they ask for. If they want a different kind of chips, he gives them 2 or 3 different kinds of chips. And so she's always like super angry at them. And one time, and then another time, a guy came up to him and he said, aren't you going to staple those bags? And he said, no, I don't have to do that. What's going to happen? Brenda going to yell at me? And then she was like standing right behind him. So he turned around and she just goes, you are so bad, and walked away. Yeah, stick it to the man, Dad. So cool. Love it.
Love that story.
Okay. Did I get to the story you wanted?
Yeah, that was okay. A chip story.
Okay.
I enjoyed the chip story.
All right, lots of conversation. I hope people aren't too disappointed, but next step, let's get into Deuteronomy. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right. Chapter 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of the Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea.
In parentheses?
Yes, it says in parentheses. By the way. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto him, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Astaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. It's another parenthetical. There's some weird punctuation in the Bible. Takes some getting used to. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance, and your burden, and your strife? Take you, wise men, and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me, and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known, and made them heads over your captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small
as well as the great, and ye not be afraid in the face of man, for judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do.
I remember that. You remember?
I remember. I remember.
All right. So basically, we get some review. God's saying, pick out your wise men. They should be the leaders. And whatever they say is really my word. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. And then we killed everybody. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out.
This is really weird. Why are we doing this? I feel like we're just...
I'm trying to figure out, is this just review? Like, is that when they went and, like, found the grapes? Remember they came back with grapes? And were like, oh, man, this place rocks. And then they went and took it over?
I think so, yeah.
Well...
we don't need a review, and I feel like you're really leaving out some key points where you killed all the people.
Yeah, they're leaving that part out for sure. I do have a confession to make. Like, so I was a little bit curious as to what the word Deuteronomy meant. Like, the rest, Genesis means a beginning. Obviously, Exodus means to leave someplace or to escape. Leviticus, we figured was about the Levites. And so I was like, what does Deuteronomy mean? So I looked it up, and like, do, like, number two.
Okay.
It just means like second law or repetition of the laws.
Oh, no. David.
Yeah.
You did not tell me that this is going to be. Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. It's going to be rough.
Yeah. Buckle up, people. This might be a little bit rough. We'll try to throw in some Tolkien references if we can.
And they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us.
See, yeah, the grapes. I remember that.
Not the member berries.
Yeah, the member berries. Maybe like one of the best South Park episodes.
It is absolutely.
It's really funny.
Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, and destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in the fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying,
surely there shall not...
Don't call me surely.
No, this isn't going to work, never mind.
Surely there shall not be. Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord.
Wait, who was that wholly followed the Lord?
Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, but it never said, like, what he did different than everybody else.
No, I remember there being two people. It was Caleb and somebody else.
Joseph.
Yeah, that...
Or Joshua. Were the,
I don't remember. Maybe Joshua.
Whoever...
Caleb and somebody else that were the absolute favorites.
Yeah, a J name. Joshua. Yeah. He was the one.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying...
Thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.
Then ye answered and said unto me, We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me,
Say unto them, Go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies.
So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah.
Bees?
Bees, yeah.
Oh, okay.
A good little simile.
Yeah. I can imagine that happening.
Yeah. We're getting some good storytelling. Better than how it was told last time, where they just said they went in and killed everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is pretty manipulative. Like, it's crazy. So, like, all the people they said, like, I guess Moses told them to go kill the Amorites. And they're like, no. Like, we're outnumbered. They're bigger than us. Mm-hmm. They have walled cities or whatever, like, or great cities. Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
And so that's why God has cursed them all to die, because they said no.
Yeah.
So everybody, I guess Caleb and Joshua were like the only ones willing to go fight. So they get to go in, and then their children, and then everybody else's children is okay too, because they were too young to...
To know better, I guess.
To know better, to disagree. But even Moses, though. Even Moses can't go in.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's just obvious that, like, they die before they go in. Like, he told everybody, God promised you this land, but you haven't quite conquered it yet. And he's like, oh, my children are good at it. It's fine.
Wait, say that again?
It's like a... You know, it's like this whole coming of Jesus thing, where people say, like, oh... Man, when the total eclipse happens, that's when the rapture is going to come and Jesus is going to come back and all the good people are going to go to heaven, or, you know, at the turn of the century, or, you know, all these different excuses where when the apocalypse is going to come, and then it comes and passes and they're like, oh yeah, but no, it'll happen next time.
Yeah.
So like God's been promising them the land of the Canaanites for all of this time. Moses is like, it's ours. We're going to go get it. And then he's like, you know, they've been wandering around in the wilderness for like 40 years, so he's probably getting pretty old, and it's like, God's mad at me. It'll be our children that inherit it. Y'all keep fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Total cult move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, or my interpretation, I think.
Yeah.
Because they've been going at this for a long time.
They have.
Like they said, 40 years in the wilderness already. Moses got to be getting up there.
Yeah.
He spent...
all that time on the mountain.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's definitely what he's doing. Mm. He's just moving the goalpost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according to the days that ye abode there.
Chapter 2.
Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying,
Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward, and command thou people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing.
And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain of Elath, and from Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, Distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession.
Yeah, those from Moab are Moabites. You want to do that again? That was fun.
Oh, I really enjoyed that, but let's not do it again.
The Emim dwelt therein in past times, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim, which also were accounted giants as the Anakim, but the Moabites call them Emim. The Horim also dwelt in Seir before time, and the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, I said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. In the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them.
Yeah, just like I said. So they spent 38 more years going through this stuff. Moses is like well over 70 now. So yeah, he is getting ready to die, and they are not in the land of the Canaanites yet.
No. Yeah. We're going to have to bring out the Flavor Aid soon.
Yeah, everybody. Put on your robes and your Nikes.
Your Nikes.
For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them, to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying,
Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzummim. Oh, this is like a whole thing on giants. Hold on.
We got to go back to parenthetical voice. We got a whole little thing.
Nice.
That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time.
Ooh.
And the Ammonites call them Zimzumim. That's a fun word.
Yeah.
Zimzumim.
a great a people great and many and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. Okay, so a lot of this stuff like almost seems like, you know how the entire tribe of people are being called Israel now?
Mm-hmm.
Which used to be like one person.
Yes.
It almost feels like this is the opposite happening, where like they use like these people to describe the patterns of the early tribes of man. Like, I almost feel like they're trying to make this into like these are real people, but really what they're trying to do is to describe like, oh, the early Beakers migrated from Northern Africa through Western Europe and up into settling in Great Britain and Northern Europe. Whereas these people had their migratory pattern this way, and they're the descendants of Lot or the descendants of Esau or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these aren't like really like people from this time. This is like people from like long, long ago, like early, early man populating the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Or at least that's what always comes to mind when I hear this talk of like giants. So like the Neanderthal, we know, were like bigger than Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
So like, did they just invade a land that was like ruled by Neanderthal? Or, and then they're just like putting it in their modern times. Like, they know, they don't know about cavemen or whatever. So they're saying like, oh, they're just people like us. And they're going and fighting and having a battle when it was more like probably like way more rudimentary than that.
Yeah.
It'd be like us not knowing anything about how they lived in the Middle Ages. So when we describe in our history of people going to war or whatever, we might say like, yeah, they had guns and they went and fought. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know if I'm explaining myself well, but like, you describe things in like your point of reference. Like, if all you've ever known is, you know, your culture, like, it's hard to think about how primitive things may have been in the past.
That makes sense, yeah.
Just a theory. Just a theory. I always find it interesting when they bring up the giants and stuff, because that's what I always think. I always think like, oh, well, there used to be like several different types of Homo sapiens, not Homo sapiens, but sapiens.
Early man, yeah.
Yeah, early man. And we just killed out all the other kinds. So
I was like, I don't know if we killed them out or if they just...
Well, some of them we bred with.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we probably genocided a lot of them.
But, possibly. Or just the idea of coming across, like, you know, dinosaur bones, and you're like, whoa.
Giants. You
know, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. As he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horim before them and succeeded them, and dwelt in their stead even unto this day, and the Avim, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azah, the Kaphtorim, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them, and dwelt in their stead. All right, so, nice parenthetical. Everybody's taken over each other's land. Story as old as time.
Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through thy land, I will... Let me pass through thy land, I will go along by the highway, I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money, that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet.
As the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me.
Until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not...
I think I'm supposed to be in Moses' voice now. This is really hard to keep up with. Especially with all the parentheticals.
But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day.
Classic God. Classic God move. Why is he always hardening everybody's hearts?
I don't know.
Doesn't seem like a smart move.
And the Lord said unto me,
Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit this land. His land.
Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons, and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took.
Very proud of himself.
Yes, he is. We took everything. We killed everyone.
The men and the women and the little ones. Every single city.
How Christian.
Aren't
us.
We great?
From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us.
Chapter 3.
Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan came out against us, and he and all his people to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me,
Fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon.
And the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took, not from them. 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan, all these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, beside unwalled towns a great many. And we utterly destroyed them, and we did unto Sihon king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side of Jordan, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon,
which Hermon, the Sidonians, call Sirion, and the Amorites call it Shinar.
All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan unto Salchach, and Eldrei cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained for the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Reboth of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man.
Whoa. Og had a big bed. So can we kill the women and the children?
But did you see his bed? Holy shit. In this land which we possessed at the time, from Aroer, which is by the river of Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto Reubenites, and to the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead, and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto half the tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coasts of Geshuri and Ma'akathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Hafath Jair, unto this day.
Okay.
And I gave Gilead to Machir, and unto Reubenites, and unto the Gadites. I gave from Gilead, even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, the plain also, and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Chinnereth, even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward. And I command you at that time, saying...
Is this where the whole, like, river to the sea thing comes from?
I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know what... Like, why are we doing this?
He's divvying out all the land that they just took over. So he's saying, these people get this part of the land, these people get this part of the land.
Why didn't we just do this when it happened, though?
I don't know.
And, like, why is this... This is so stupid.
I don't know. I'm finding it kind of interesting.
And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you.
Of course they have a lot of cattle. They just stole it all from all these people.
This would just be like a two towers starting out with like, well, we started our journey and we walked down through Bree and we ran into some trouble there. And then as we were going some more, and then we ran into some...
It's like a little kid trying to tell a story.
Yeah.
And then
the ring wraiths, they came and they stabbed Frodo and we had to be saved. And then we spent a really long time in
We went to Rivendell. Frodo got better. And then he got mad. And then we went to the top of the mountain and it was too cold. So we went under the mountain.
But I couldn't remember the password. So we had to stay for a little while. We almost got eaten.
Yeah.
Until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for your Lord, your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me,
let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see.
So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor.
I like how whenever Moses gets in trouble, he makes sure to say, but because of you. Because of your sakes.
Oh, yeah.
God was mad at me, but it's because of what you did.
Oh, yeah.
I got lumped in with you shitheads.
Moses right. is toxic.
Oh, for sure. But it looks like he's about done. So he's got his second in command all lined up. He's
Joseph.
Yeah. Joshua.
Or Joshua.
So many J names. But yeah, so I think that's a good place to stop. Yeah, I feel sufficiently dumber. How about you?
Yeah, all definitely.
Right. Yeah, stay dumb, everybody.
Stay dumb.